Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In our lives, we are surrounded by pain, suffering, and death. At times, it feels like we cannot escape from these things. But God has a plan and a promise. The old things shall pass away. All will be made new. Trust in the one who makes all things new today. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 21 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 1 through 3.
How long does it take to get to heaven? Well, here's an amazing thing. Remember the cross. Jesus has one thief on his left, one on his right. One says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know what Jesus said. He said, in 100,000 light years, you will be with me in paradise. He said, today. That's why when you talk about those early chapters in Genesis and you talk about things about the eternal, we've got to think beyond time. This is God we're talking about. When the believer dies, they go to this place called heaven. Well, there's heaven and then there's the new heaven and new earth. I'm going to show you in a minute that the heaven that we're going to go to is not our final place. It's a temporary place. That's a little intro. John says in verse 1 that he saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. 24 times in the Revelation, John says, I saw. Imagine being John, probably in his 90s on the island of Patmos, and he's getting all of these revelations. Later on in this chapter, I believe John gets revelation overload. He's supposed to be writing things down, and the Spirit of God says, write, John, write this down, write it. Don't just... But Lord willing, that'll be next week. First heaven and the first earth passed away. We saw that in chapter 20, verse 11. And as this chapter opens, let me just give you a fast review because the chronology of the end times I want to give to you. All the sinners of all the ages, demons, men, including Satan, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and everybody else are now in the eternal lake of fire. They're out of the express presence of the living God and the saints and the holy angels forever. They've been dismissed into their own disconnected, isolated place of eternal punishment. Sobering thought for the unregenerate. The last chapter in the Bible is Revelation chapter 20. Ends with a lake of fire. But John sees a new heaven. John sees a new earth. And he sees the fulfillment of the prophecy spoken by Isaiah in chapter 65, verse 7. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, for the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. The word create there in Isaiah 65, verse 17, is the Hebrew word bara, the same word that is used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And bara in Hebrew means to make something out of nothing, which is only something God can do. So if you're here this morning and say, I'm nothing, give your life to Christ. He'll make something out of you. He makes something out of nothing. And God uses the same Hebrew word, bara, when he speaks of creating the new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah 66, 22 says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make. And the Hebrew word for new there in Isaiah 66, 22, is not the Hebrew word which means new as opposed to old. It's the Hebrew word which means new in quality, something that never existed before. It's going to be glorious. Glorious. 2 Peter 3:13 says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And as I mentioned last week, when the first heaven and the first earth flee away, that's when the big bang happens. Doesn't happen in Genesis. Happens at the end of the millennium. New heavens and new earth. Well, you know what that means? But there's a number of things it can mean, but one thing that it means for sure is that the earth that you and I are living on is disposable. It's disposable. Ever think about that? The idea of this earth being preserved forever may be the doctrine of Al Gore or Greenpeace, but it's not the doctrine of Jehovah. That doesn't mean we go out and litter and all of that. We should be wise stewards of what God has given us. But know this, beloved, the present earth that you and I live on is going to be dissolved. Hebrews 13, verse 14 says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Now, this, what I'm about to share with you, really put me into orbit as I was studying this. Okay, so God's going to wipe out the first heaven and the first earth. Here we are, the redeemed. And if I'm understanding the chronology correctly, right after the first heaven and first earth flee away, you and I are going to experience firsthand our God creating the new heaven and the new earth. Do you ever wonder when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created, how did he do it? We're going to see how he did it. Isn't that awesome? There'll be nothing. No heaven, no earth, no universe, just us. Us and God. The holy angels, the elect angels, and then God's going to say, new heaven, new earth. Whoa! That's how he did it. See, people are looking for thrills, you know, here on earth. Man, can you imagine watching God, our God, create a universe? Well, maybe not you, but I find that to be fascinating, and I look forward to that. 2 Peter 3:10 tells us how the present heaven and earth passed away. This event signals the end of the groaning period. We're living in the days of former things, aren't we? Death, sorrow, pain, frustration, groaning. We're living in that time. And so what's to encourage us? Heaven. Heaven. This is what is called in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, the dispensation of the fullness of times. Christ, or God, is going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. The new economy. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but you remain, and they all shall wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture shall you fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and your years shall not fail. Remember? How many of you used to watch Star Trek? It's okay, you can do it. You used to watch Star Trek? It was like a family thing we used to do. So don't come in and rip on me now. Do you know all of the new age things? Okay, we used to make pizza and sit around when the kids were little and watch Star Trek. Remember? Do, 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 do. Remember the beginning? Remember that? Yeah, of course you remember it. Space, the final frontier. Not! This is the final frontier. You and I as believers, we step into the final frontier, a new heaven and a new earth. Wow. Does that excite you just a little bit this morning? And there was no more sea. Oh, poor surfers. The surface of the earth is somewhere around 74% water. That's what one science website said, 74%. I wonder why they just didn't round it off to 75, but I don't know. They also tell us that there are 330 million cubical miles of water filling the planet. When John is writing the Revelation, he's standing on the island of Patmos. He's surrounded by water. At the end of the service, oh no, was it? Yeah. We sang a song about the New Jerusalem. There was all kinds of water. It wasn't a sea. We wanted to be scriptural. You know what that means? Heaven's going to be different. Obviously, it's going to be different. The present hydraulic system will be non-existent. No more evaporation, distillation, condensation. It's going to be unlike anything you and I have ever seen or heard. But there is a mystery, and I'm not going to ask God when I get to heaven, no more sea, but there is going to be a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. We'll get there in chapter 22. Water. Speaking of water, I'm glad you brought it up. Did you know that your blood is 90% water? Did you know that your flesh is 65% water? Our human existence is water-based. You and I would die if we got dehydrated. So once again, God is saying when he makes the statement there will be no more sea, it's going to be different. You do expect heaven to be a little bit different, right? You don't expect to go to heaven from glorious East Rochester in the middle of, oh, yeah, this is it? No, 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 no. As I said earlier, heaven is such a glorious place that God has to give us a new body. This one that we have will be sown in corruption. It will be raised in incorruption. It will be sown in dishonor. It will be raised in glory. It will be sown in weakness. It will be raised in power. It will be sown a natural body. It will be raised a spiritual body. John seen a new heaven, a new earth, and he also saw, in verse 2, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Notice that the holy city is not Rome. Ouch. It's the New Jerusalem. There are three Jerusalems mentioned in Scripture. There is the present earthly holy city of Jerusalem, which in the last days will be a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone for all people. We saw that in the millennium, there is going to be the Jerusalem of the millennium. But here is the New Jerusalem. Hebrews 12 says in verse 22 through 24, but you are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. Galatians 4:26 says that the New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. The city is wholly new. It doesn't belong to this world. It's not in the millennium. It's a new city, our home. Mentioned in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. The New Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from God. And he says it's promised to those who are overcomers. I wonder if John is not thinking of the words of Jesus from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. They were probably thinking when he said this. You see, we know the whole story. We know what it was about to happen. They're probably thinking, troubled about what? Worried about what? You're here? No worries? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Just think of what the apostles were going to experience. And what does he do to prepare them? He tells them, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be always. See, the doctrine of heaven enables us to deal with the difficulties, the question marks, the tragedies of this life, doesn't it? They're going to come. You can't escape them as believers. They're going to come. As sure as you and I are sitting here today, they're going to come. What amazes me is as I began to just look at what some commentators had to say about Revelation 21 and 22, believe it or not, there are commentators who try to tell us that we cannot take the Bible verbatim and that this isn't a real city, that John is using apocalyptic verbiage to identify a heavenly state of mind or existence. Really? If this isn't a real city, then I haven't got any idea what John is talking about. Do you? If this isn't a real city, if I can't take these words of Christ, these words of the Spirit of God verbatim, then how am I going to know what he's talking about? Yet they insist, well, he doesn't really mean a city. My question, what does he mean? He says, a city. And if he doesn't mean city, then who, pray tell, is going to unravel the mystery of what he means when he doesn't mean what he says he means? That's when you have to start playing the Star Trek music. Because you're going to get lost in space. This is a city. This is a real place. Not a state of mind. God help us. Verse 3. Oh my. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You see, as born-again believers, Jesus now dwells within us spiritually. Christ dwells in our heart by faith. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. But in the New Jerusalem, Jesus is going to dwell with us visibly. Do you ever imagine looking at the face of Jesus? I think of John's words in 1 John chapter 3, where he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not." That's why your unsaved friends and co-workers can't make heads or tails of you. It's because they don't know Christ. You're a mystery to them. That's a biblical explanation. Until they're born again, they're not going to understand you. And then John says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Don't let anybody tell you that you cannot know that you're a child of God until you die. That's too late to find out. You need to know now. Now are we the sons of God. Are you a son of God right now? Now's the time. "And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is." Oh my, oh my. That just gives me a chill all up my spine. I'm going to see him as he is. Can you imagine seeing the King of Glory? Can you imagine, beloved? We're going to see him as he is, in all of his majesty, in all of his beauty, in all of his perfections, in all of his holiness, in all of his goodness. The one who is absolutely sovereign over the entire universe. We're going to see him. Going to see him. In Psalm chapter 24, don't need to turn there. Psalm chapter 24, we read, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Can you imagine Christ crucified, Christ buried, Christ risen, Christ ascends to heaven. And here's when the gates of the heavenly city, there has never been a man there. And who walks in but the King of Glory? Jesus. Imagine the King of Glory walks in. And every created being falls down and worships the King of Glory. When we're going to see him face to face. It's a good thing that there won't be such a thing as time. I believe in my heart. I don't know about you, but carve me out a million year space, Lord. Just to be able to look in his face. It doesn't get any better than that. You see, as wonderful as heaven is, if Christ is not there, who am I of heaven but thee? Who am I on earth that I desire besides thee? Heaven, heaven, seeing the Almighty face to face, seeing God face to face. The eternal plan and purpose of God is that you and I would be with him forever. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, which is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Listen to these words of Jesus. Listen carefully. Chew on every word. Let them saturate your heart, your soul, your mind. And if you're here this morning, you've never been born again, may God's Spirit use these words to grab your heart and to lead you to the saving knowledge of Christ. Jesus says in chapter 17, verse 19, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." You know what that means? He's praying for me. He's praying for you. Notice what he prays. Fasten your seatbelts. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That they may be one as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me. Now, brace yourself. And that the world may know that you have loved them as you have loved me. If Jesus didn't say it, I wouldn't believe it. The Father loves me like he loves Jesus? How? How is that possible? It's possible because of the cross. It's possible because of that God-wrought, blood-bought redemption. Because of God's grace through Christ, he loves me and you, the Father, as he loves the Son. Isn't that incredible? I don't feel loved today. You are. Oh, maybe there's human beings that say, I don't love you. I don't like you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. May the love of Christ grab your heart this morning. And then Jesus says this, Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus prayed that those who were given to him by the Father. Wait a minute. Now this is really beginning to color outside of my mind, my lines theologically. The Father gave me as a believer to Jesus. And Jesus prays for those who have come to him that they would be with me where I am. That's where we're headed. How can you sit there and behold his glory? His glory. Not the Taj Mahal. Did you see that 65-yard field goal? Big deal. New car, new this, new that. Big deal. We're going to see his face. Imagine that. No sickness, no crying, no pain. That's because the former things are done away with. But heaven is because our King is there. Our God is there. Our Redeemer is there. But let me assure you, just as real as heaven is a place, so is hell. The good news is that Christ is coming. The bad news is that Christ is coming. All depends which side of the fence you're on. So today, I pray that you would make, as Peter says, your calling, your election sure. See, the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, it's kind of like God gives us the final exam when he gives us the test. Even I could pass one of those when I was in high school. And you look at it and go, wait a minute, I don't qualify. I've never bowed the knee to Christ. I've never confessed him as Lord. I thought that if I just went to church, if I tried hard enough, that I'm in. No, and if the Spirit of God is showing you that you're not in, he intends that you turn to him today and know that you belong to him. And I pray that if that's you this morning, you would do that. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you will deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Trust Christ today. Trust the King of Glory today.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.